Willkommen bei Mit Milch und Zucker, wo wir mit Menschen Kaffee trinken, damit ihr sie kennenlernen könnt. Willkommen zurück bei Mit Milch und Zucker, neue Woche, neue Folge. Mein Name ist Christiane und im Zoom-Fenster über mir ist wieder die Brenda. Hallo Brenda.
Hallo Christiane.
And now I will switch to English because our episode today will be in English because we want to talk to our guest and she is from Bosnia and her name is Azra. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for joining us. We're very excited to talk to you. I think you're on our list for a long, long time now.
Okay, that's good to know.
Dobro večer, Asra.
Dobro večer, Brenda. Kako si?
Odlično, a ti?
Oh, super, super.
See, I still remember some Bosnian.
That's huge progress.
It's like the most languages we had in one podcast.
Yes.
But I'm going to introduce you to our listeners because then they know why we desperately want to talk to you. So as I said, your name is Azra and you're from Bosnia. You're from Cluj, actually.
Yes.
And you work there to support the city in the last 15 years. And that work includes project writing, fundraising, training, strategic planning. And you especially specialize on working with young people so they can get a voice in the community and into the everyday life. So people are actually thinking about them. And in 2016, you were working on a joint initiative called Strengthening the Role of Local Communities in Bosnia and Herzegovina of the governments of Switzerland and Sweden, and which was implemented by the United Nations Development Programme. And you were in that whole project. And I think when you look at the project, which I did, I think it describes your work quite good, I would say. But I think we will talk about that. And what else we're going to talk about, Brenda will explain now with the topic.
We thought as a topic would be good to talk to you about building and creating bridges, youth activism, and how to engage your community. We met years ago in Cluj, and I still remember the city, and I stayed there for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks during a language course, and was really a nice story, and it was nice to stay there and get to know the people and the town, and yeah. So that's why I'm still following you and what you're doing and Cluj, because it's always a little in my heart. And we would like to talk about how to build and conserve and engage community and youth in your community in Bosnia and in Europe. What it needs not to only have an idea, but to create a system that works for communities, and how in a country like Bosnia, with all its political and historical baggage, and to cut it short, at least I love to talk about Bosnia. I talked to a friend of ours that she was a guest twice in our podcast, and I asked her, what questions should I ask somebody from Bosnia and somebody engaged in work with youth in Bosnia? And she said she should tell everybody in the world why one has to visit Bosnia, because Bosnia needs a lot more friends in the world. We're going to start with the questions to go first. Yes. And Christiane has the first one.
Right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Radio or TV?
TV.
What actions can others take to make you happy?
Oh, a lot of different things. Small surprises makes me happy. And children hugs as well.
As a child, I wanted to be
a teacher, actually.
I'm inspired by
my parents.
The best advice I've ever been given.
All of this will be tomorrow. Like everything what happens today will tomorrow be in past or something like this.
Eurocrema or Nutella?
Eurocrema.
Which place in Bosnia should everyone visit?
Cluj, of course. The most beautiful city in the world.
What is your favorite smell?
Perfume. Depends which one, but perfume, special kind.
I want to thank
A lot of people, especially my friends, for supporting my work.
How do you drink your coffee?
Well, I don't know for how long, but I'm drinking coffee with milk without sugar.
Perfect. Questions to go are over. We will start with the normal questions now, because we want to talk about Bosnia and we want to talk about your work and everything in between. So our first with milk and sugar question, I think it is now, is what was the best coffee you ever had? Which is not just the taste mainly, because the best coffees are mostly the ones with good company or in a nice setting.
The best coffees for me is when I'm going outside in a bar with my closest friends. That's the best coffee with a lot of laughs.
I remember one of the best coffees we had, Brenda, which was also in Bosnia.
Which one?
Like the one when we were on holidays?
Yes, I know when we were in Bosnia. I can't remember that.
Okay. No, when we were sitting outside the hotel and at a coffee shop or a cafe or something.
I know.
And we had coffee there. And yeah. It was just like a different out of the world experience.
I don't know, if you know the shop, it's called Vatra.
Of course, in the city center of Sarajevo, the best place ever. Yeah, you couldn't find a better one.
But I remember we had some really good coffees in Cluj, because Cluj is very interesting town or city, because it's on the river or near the river Una, which is a very...
Sana.
Yeah, which is a very, very, like a beautiful river and it's a beautiful setting. And it's a little mountainous and it's at the end of big mountains and it's very, yeah. And we had some good coffees there too, because the coffee shops are really good.
Yes, I think at the time you visited Cluj, popular was Hacienda or something like that, and Queen as well. And it's still popular today, Hacienda, but it's only shisha bar today. But every Saturday with my friend, I'm there for a coffee.
The thing is, we stayed there for 4 weeks and we stayed in the house. And it was a small group of people from Austria and Germany. And it was very interesting because after a couple of days, you think you know people there. Because the community just like, yeah, gave us a home a little. And people told us how to make Boston coffee and... Yeah.
I think Muki taught you that, your cook there in the house. I think she was the one responsible. And as I recall, a lot of people in Cluj at that time spoke German language, so you were quite easy to hang with the community, to connect.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's the interesting thing about Bosnia. I think everywhere you go, you meet people with a story, and usually it's about a story of speaking different languages, having lived in different parts of the world, and being very open to other people.
Yes. Well, that's our hospitality. Everybody said, like, whenever you go in Bosnia, wherever, the first thing is you will not be hungry. Because everybody will offer you to eat. You will not be thirsty because they will offer you to drink. And kindness of people is something that we are proud of as a nation. So we want always to deliver the best to our guests. So that's maybe what gives us some positive in these days.
Yeah, true. That's really true for Bosnia, yeah? And for Cluj especially, because before I went to Cluj, I was just in Sarajevo, which is a big town. So you're a tourist there, it's different. But living in a city like Cluj for 4 weeks, you get to know people.
Yeah, and you connect with the people.
Yes.
Then you have a possibility to better know tradition and habits and culture and everything. And we, in small towns, we know each other, you know, people do know each other. So every new face that appears in town, okay, this person is here like for a few days. Do you know what he or she is doing here? So that we are very curious to know more about some guests.
That can be very, very hard if you live there and everyone knows what you're up to all the time.
Well, sometimes it is, but it's very good. It's still a small town. It's still like a lovable place. Peaceful place for living, at least.
But we want to talk to you especially because of your work and your engagement in youth activism. Difficult word.
Yeah.
German and English. And because when I met you, you just started the Youth Center Cosmos.
Yes. This year we are celebrating 18
Don't
years.
Say it. Of
it. I have to. This is like a child that we nourished, like, you know. It's like 18 years, actually, of existence.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's very impressive.
Can you tell our listeners what did you do in the beginning and how did it evolve in the sense that it's now?
I was kind of a volunteer in different organizations. At that time, I was learning what is NGO, what it is, actually. So I was happy to have opportunity to visit Denmark and their NGOs working there. And with the support of some friends from Holmegaard Kommune, at that time from Næstved in Denmark, and the LO school from Copenhagen, Elsinore actually. So we established COSMOS. For us, for me personally, everything was new at that time. It was in 2004. But some previous work of me, ever since I was like 14, 15 years old, maybe even younger, I was always kind of a leader in this youth sector, even when I was a refugee in Denmark at that time. And then when we decided to establish COSMOS, okay, let's try, let's see how this will go. And I remember like the first support, it was actually educational support that we got from a bigger youth association under the same sun from Jablanica. And they supported us in our first project writing. We didn't know what was the project. I didn't know personally what means the project, okay, how to write it. And then they educated us. Then year after year, like it was like easy going, like some small activities, ecological activities, children activities to work with children, some workshops, especially during the Christmas time and New Year's Eve, when we organized, like we didn't know what to do, but let's organize Santa and some dancing for children. And then I started, I got involved with this Monster Freedoms project association from Potsdam, from with late Andrei Stanisaljevic and Emil Bender. And they actually gave me like the wind in my back to learn more about youth work, about youth program of European Commission. And then I started like first as a participant. Also in that point, I didn't know what means like, okay, what is this state or association like European Commission that gives to organizations money to meet people and that they play children's games. For me, that was children's games, like name games, team building games, ice breaking games. And then when you get into the topic, and I was surprised, I said, okay, they pay us for travel, for accommodation, food, everything is paid, and we just have to participate there. And I found it very strange. But when I got into the topic from 2007, then I actually knew and found out that this is the best program that could appear at European ground, actually, in Europe. For young people. I was young at that time, of course. But, and then I started to learn since like many years now. COSMOS became like, according to some researchers of our Ministry for Civil Rights of Bosnia and Herzegovina, we were number one in Bosnia for implementing this youth and youth in action program in our country, because we applied and we actually spread the word about COSMOS and CLUJ and made some stable partnerships. And today, like 18 years ago, I'm just preparing my final report for the project for that's supposed to finish last year, but due to COVID, it was prolonged until this year. So just a few more days left for my final report. And that's how it goes. Like this time, like for 18 years now, this was something really, for me personally, I personally developed in the project writing, strategic planning, a lot of what Christiane mentioned at the beginning of introduction. I'm very happy and very proud for what we have achieved until now. It's a long period and a lot of different projects, not only European, but we were recognized as an organization that always brings some strangers in CLUJ. And then I always, and every tourist that appears here said, Azra, is this someone, some of yours or something? You know, it was like fun at that point. But it was really, and one funny thing, I was walking through the town with my sister and some of my friends. And there was some group of tourists that parked the car, and directly they were crossing the road and approaching to me to ask me for some direction. And then my friend said, like, it's really like it's written on Azra's forehead that she speaks English and that we don't speak English. And that's the point. So it was, there are some, of course, funny moments. There are also always some concerns, especially when you organize big events like training courses, youth exchanges, when you have people from 25 to 40 people coming to your town, then you have to organize everything. That's sometimes stress, but when it's finished, then you find out that people left from Cluj happy, satisfied, have learned something, made friendships. And of course, when you Google Cluj, it will appear all the time in Google search engine. So yeah, a lot of things. When I mentioned besides European projects, we have implemented a lot of projects for strategy relation for young people in Cluj, in Federation and Bosnia and Herzegovina. We were given a lot of financial support to ecological projects by the River Sana. We cleaned that. We even had one youth exchange under the topic "Waste is not rubbish," where we cleaned one spot by the riverbank, and all of that trash, we made some stuff and everything was used. So we recycled everything what we got out of the river. And just now this year, we are going to implement one very small ecological project in one rural area where we have, where Cosmos established partnership with the Cameron and the Youth Council of Cluj. So we are three organizations. And through this project, the development of strengthening the local communities of Bosnia and Herzegovina, we have our own hostel in a rural area that we like, that is a crown of all our work. And for that idea, through this same project for local communities, I personally won second place among 47 project ideas for this youth hostel. And for last 3 years, we have finally finished like cleaning, buying beds and all these things what one hostel should have. So, and during the COVID in 2020, when everything was locked down, we said like youth organizations are giving a youth hostel for purpose of COVID ambulance or some... Yeah. So that was one of the best examples in the country, like every news said, like youth organizations are giving for COVID ambulance. At that time, nobody knew what is COVID, what is, you know, everything was strange. So that's like in short, some of these successes that we have been working on.
When you think back at the beginning of the idea of Cosmos and what it is now and what you have done since like 18 years. Did you know what it will become?
When we spoke about establishment of a youth association in Cluj, before us, there were several associations that after 1 year, they were closed down because there was no like any interested people that wanted to build association as it should be. And the name Cosmos, actually, we pull out of the hat because one of our colleagues, he wrote it and we said, okay, why Cosmos? And he said, because sometimes we want to achieve, to go up to the moon, we will achieve something. And then we really didn't know how everything will develop. But when we now compare beginning and how hard it was for us to get even an office free of charge from the municipality and there how to pay our bills, electricity. We didn't have, we had dial-up internet at that time used from another association. They gave us like place to work. So we started one thing after another. We didn't want to cancel all this what we worked. So today when I didn't believe that it will become as it was today, but we built a reputation and personal and organizational, and a lot of people went through our organization. Most of them are now married and living abroad and have children, have families. I think I'm still here, the only one, and I have two colleagues that we are following each other, three of us like really strong workers in this, but we didn't know really what it will become. Yeah, what it will become now after 18 years of existence. When I compare this, I'm really proud. Today we are like kind of, we managed to write projects to get implemented, and then we support some local activities. For example, every 15th of September, we have our Cluj Day. It's like our day of the municipality of Cluj. So we support with buying flowers in front of our Dom Culture, House of Culture, where all activities cultural take place, and then we make it happen. And then we kind of like support a lot of children activities. We managed to get some funds from other sources. So yeah, we are, what's most important, we are recognized. And that's what's really great.
Do you think the hardest part of your work is getting funds to do projects?
Well, yes, you have to write projects. Before it was really easy. There were no some specific application forms. You could develop your own application form. But now every organization, every ministry, every international organization, they have their own forms. And actually, they have educated us on how to write a good project and how to follow from the logic framework till all the details. And for me today is very strange when I see some project application that is really easy. And then I laugh and I say, this was my project when I started to work. Like this was 18 years ago. Now I'm really always looking for something more. There are still some in the cantonal ministries that our cantonal ministries still don't have their own application form. So whichever I send with my projects, they accept it. And when I may write report, financial and narrative report, then I also have my own form of writing reports. And but this is changing finally after so many years. We are in like this civil society for EU, some project where finally our canton and ministries will make a platform, web platform, where our details of, for example, registration papers and everything will be uploaded. And once we apply, everything will go online and we don't have to always send papers, always take the new papers or have stamp not older than 6 months and stuff. That is changing and is becoming like these Erasmus Plus projects now.
Just to get our listeners a little picture of Bosnia, because I know what you're talking about, but Bosnia is a very bureaucratic country with a lot of different levels of government, because you have a local area, a local government, you have the entity government, and you have the state government.
And cantonal government.
And cantonal, and everything is like everyone has a minister, and it's very difficult to manage through all these levels of government.
Yes.
Well, so just to tell our listeners a picture of Bosnia and why it is difficult to walk through the government hurdles.
Just short example. For example, Cluj municipality is the lowest level of the government. Then we are responsible to cantonal level for follow the cantonal rules and laws and stuff. Then from canton we go to federal level entity, Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and we have like two entities and one district when it comes to whole country. And then we have state level. So, and then our canton and every canton has 11 ministries. Then we have prime minister. Then we have presidents of assembly. So we have like so many functions that nobody can really understand. But that's how this system works and that's how we are used to.
When you started the youth center and all your engagement in youth work and youth activism, how did you get people to join you? Because I guess in a town like Cluj, which is like not big, but not really small, it's like in the middle, it might be difficult to get people engaged.
It was hard, you know, it was hard. We didn't know actually what we want to achieve with the existence of non-governmental. But everything changed when we started our first. Our first project was education from computer technologies, where we had like educator in school, and where youngsters and people that were employed in the municipality got free lessons on how to use a computer. It was new of course, at that time. And then youngsters from that project actually started to approach to us. How can we be involved in your activities and stuff? When these projects, when we got to know more about youth program of European Commission, later Youth in Action, then we offered like people, okay, we have, for example, youth exchange in Serbia. Do you want to go? And then we said, well, okay, I'm very interested, but Serbia, I know it's really hard how to go there. Then I said, okay, we can go to Germany, but we need visa. And then we had to get the visa from Sarajevo and stuff. And when we published, at that time, Facebook appeared and stuff, you know, from mouth to mouth, some news. Youngsters really approached us and wanted to get involved in our activities. And we didn't have like 100 youngsters. We had 5 to 10 that were like going in circles and working with us. And then we educated them in all these things, what we do. And well, it went through years. Today, what I'm really happy that youngsters that are today 25, 26 years old have learned from us about non-formal education. And they are now studying or studied in Sarajevo, Mostar, Banja Luka. And then they just write, okay, we found one project. What do you think? Can we apply for to participate somewhere in training course? And finally, they opened themselves. They were not closed. It was for us hard to open them, to show them that there is a mobility of young people, that they can travel freely, especially when our visas were like free. Yeah. And then today I'm very proud when I see those youngsters on Facebook mostly or Instagram, when they self apply for certain activities. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes me most happy. Finally, we are not closed society. Finally, those youngsters that started in small clutch and small organization, that we gave them like the path which they should use to learn more. And that's one of the, also one of the successes that we have achieved. It was hard, of course, to get youngsters, but today it's very easy. Today is a fight. We'll go where.
You mentioned before that lots of people who went through your programs are living now outside Bosnia and are married and have children somewhere outside abroad. Is that a main problem that Bosnia has, young people leaving the country?
Yes, unfortunately, not only Bosnia, all area, all ex-Yugoslavia, people are leaving from Cluj a lot. According to our census, we have like 16,744 inhabitants. When we have the elections, then we have maximum 6,050 people voting. And then when you now compare, we are not more in the whole municipality, including like the city center and villages, we are not more than 7,000 people. Why? Everybody, when Germany opened their borders for working power, all the youngsters went there, and educated and non-educated, not with high education, I mean, but everybody went there. And before 50 years ago, people also went to Germany to work in the woods, in the minery or wherever, but families were at home and they were coming like back at least once a month. Now, if a man goes to Germany to work, then he has, according to law, to bring his family. And now the whole families are leaving town. Unfortunately, from Cluj, a lot of young people left. That's with the families, with young families. And that includes also my brother and his family, his wife and daughter, and they are now living in Germany. So me and my mom are alone in this huge house. So everybody like build a house for their children. That was our mentality, to build a house for son, for daughter, mostly for sons. But now it's changed. Now daughters also get the cut from the house. So everybody like were building these flats for their children, and now everybody left. So that's the huge problem that we are dealing today. We also have, including, you will not believe, but in Cluj, it is also hard to find a waiter in a bar to work. Okay. And before there was like everybody, if they can carry like to serve people, everybody could be a waiter. without school, without anything. Now it's a problem even to find without school or educated one. Now everybody is just leaving. Of course, not everybody left, but it's for even small crews, it is a problem.
What would you say has to change that people will maybe not come back forever, but come back more?
To Ključ or to Bosnia?
Both.
Well, the problem is here our monthly payment very low. Like according to our, like the minimum monthly salary is 436 marks, which is 218 euros per month. And that's what employers, some huge companies, sometimes not all, but you have people that are paying workers the minimum and you cannot live out of it. And food prices and everything, especially this year, went very high. And stability and security for the family, it's what made people to leave the country. And they will come back, you know, when they retire. And then they will come here 3 months and then go back there because their children will stay in the Germany, Austria, Slovenia. Their grandchildren will stay there. So it's very rare that some of them will like come and come back like for good. So mostly because of the financial security and security at all for the family, it's why people left.
I might ask you our second question now, our second with Mika and Sugar question, which is, what can others learn from you? Languages. Well, I know languages.
Languages, yes. Danish, English, Bosnian, and German. I passed on my faculty. I had very good degrees, not degrees, marks in German language. That's
we can talk in German now. It's easier for us.
No. I don't want to make some mistakes so that people laugh. No, but I have my niece. She's 5. She will be 5 in February, and she's fluent in German.
Very good.
But also fluent in Bosnian. While my other two nieces are living in Denmark, and both of them, of course, the Danish language is their mother tongue. Bosnian is like they speak because of the grandmother so that she can understand them, but they speak very good without any mistakes. I sometimes let them like to make some mistakes because they are very cute when they speak. And English as well, they are like, I speak with my Layla, with my sister's daughter. She was the firstborn. She's like my favorite first one, and this small one is like she's small and you have to love her, but Layla speaks English like fluently. So I have these three girls from my brother and my sister, and I'm using every opportunity to speak with them languages. The other what people can learn from me is to become a book addict. Because I like to read. I have like here, you see, it's like full of books of different kinds and some encyclopedia. And I can always teach them how to write a good project. That's my profession because I work now for the municipality of Ključ and I'm a fundraiser there. And I always bring like with the good projects, I bring the money to the municipality so that we implement different infrastructural projects in our area. And whatever they find interesting, I cannot just teach them math because I'm not good at math, but all other things, I'm like social science and stuff, I'm good at it.
So. How did you realize that you're good at the project writing part? Like, how did it start?
Well, it started with education by education, and I like when we started with Cosmos, you know, some other people from other association like brought me with themselves to see how it looks to write a project. So I learned, and also in 2016, with this strengthening local communities, our coordinator from UNDP also suggested, Azra, you have to participate. And I said, come on. I'm like, I've been through this so many. She said, okay, you have to because you are coordinating these activities. So you always learn something, even though that is everything new. But educations are the ones that brought me to this professional project writing. And even now on 21st of January, the mayor of the municipality called me and said, apply for one education about European projects. It's about IPA, Horizon, Erasmus. And I said, But we as a municipality cannot apply. I cannot work alone on these projects because I need to have a team that speaks English and that understands the language of the project. You have to know the language of the project. And he said, you just sign in and go for the education. Of course, municipality is paying, and that's one day education. So I will just go to Sarajevo on 21st to see, is there something that I have already, that I already know, or maybe I can learn something more. And all these project writing, especially within the Youth in Action Erasmus Plus for the young people, that's what I got from Mostar Freedom's project from Berlin. They were my first starting point. They taught me actually how to write project of this kind, because it's a very, very huge amount, a lot of pages and pages of the project you have to write. But when you get into this, you just, your mind works faster than you can type sometimes.
I read about a couple of projects you did, and I find a lot of them interesting, but one I find especially interesting because it's so different. And it was a project connecting people who were originally from Cluj, but not living there anymore, with other people still living in Cluj.
It was, maybe you found it one from the last year. That was my idea about the project that I managed with my colleague from my office, that we are working together and we are like mastermind, always talking and stuff. And then I proposed to him, like, meet your roots. And he said, what do you mean? What do you mean with that? And I said, in English, it sounds very nice, meet your roots. Then when we translated to Bosnian, it's a bit different, but it has something similar. And he said, okay, what do you want with that? And I said, I want this project to be as a part of strategy of municipality of Cluj. And it's to connect children that are third generation born in outside Bosnia with children that are living in Cluj and going to school here, so that they are brought together to speak together, to make some drawings. First, we start with this. And then I hired an educator, a teacher, and she like introduced all these people to first, to these children, I would say children, about the Bosnia, about Cluj, so that they know historical and cultural background. Why are they in Cluj? Not only because of aunt, uncle, or grandparents, so that they know why is Cluj very important in history. And then they got together, and it was a very positive project with a very small amount of money that we implemented. And I'm planning also to do it this year, actually, during the summer, because during the summer, a lot of our people from Cluj are coming here. During the summer, we have like more than 30,000 people in the city. So it's, and a lot of different activities.
Mm-hmm. And just to give our listeners a little perspective of Cluj. Cluj lies directly on the border between the now Federation and the Republika Srpska, so part of Bosnia. And there was a lot of war going on there in the 90s. Yes. Yeah, it was very hard fought for. Yeah. And so people left, like your family, you left for Denmark, you told that before. And so that's why a lot of people originally from Cluj, now third generation, are not living in there anymore, because it's war hit Cluj very hard twice.
Yes, the war is the hardest part for us. Mm-hmm. When I left Cluj, I was 14 years old. It was in 1992. And then I lived in Croatia for 6 months. And from Croatia, we went to Denmark. Just luckily, we weren't planning. We thought that we will leave Cluj for 1 month and then come back, like the war will be over. But unfortunately, in Cluj here in 1992, there were a lot of civilians that were killed. In one village, like 12 kilometers from here, 265 civilians, where the youngest was a baby of 4 months old and her brother of 5 years old. And then all villages around Cluj, rural areas, they are all connected to the city center, but they are all like roads are very approachable. Most of them were burnt down. In every village, there are between 50 and 70 people, civilians that were killed. The men from those villages were also killed, but some that were able to save themselves were part of the army of Bosnia and Herzegovina, or some of them went also to Germany, Austria, Slovenia. It depends all mm-hmm. the destinies of the people. And yes, after the war ended in 1995, Cluj was divided in two parts. So the city and the villages that are mostly with Muslim and Catholic inhabitants are in Federation now, where I live. And the wood, the richness with the wood, it belongs, and the one and several villages where the most Orthodox people are living belongs now to Republic of Srpska. So we are, like, as you said, we are like 5 kilometers from the border. We say border, but it's nothing. It's just a road. You just see the sign, welcome to Republic of Srpska. When you enter to village in Cluj, you see welcome to Unasana Canton, Cluj, welcome to Cluj. So it's not like that there are police officers or someone that checks you. It's like normal traveling and everything. But just administratively, it's like divided.
Yeah, but that's I think that's why I really loved the project you did, because it's probably helping people overcome history, because people left, not voluntarily left Cluj.
Yes, especially these new generations, that will be hard for them to learn about the history. For example, most of those that are living now in, it depends, of course, on their parents, how they teach them, and how, what they learn, what they like to read. Yeah. For example, I have just one example of Bosnian Kingdom, and everybody, I have a friend in Germany that always laughs at me when I said, like, Bosnian King was captured in Cluj in 1463. And he said,
I remember that.
You're talking about a king that is more than 500 years old. And I said, it's not my fault that he lived here. That's like that Stepan Tomašević, actually our last Bosnian king, was captured in Cluj and executed in Jajce by the Ottoman Empire. And for example, those children don't know that. Don't know that the Cluj is very important in history that we are learning even today. And then I bought a book from a Cluj person. A boy, a young man, actually, he's married and has 2 children. But it's more like encyclopedia, Bosnian Kingdom. And it's really beautiful book about history of Bosnia, especially with the dedication to Cluj, because his father was killed in one of the concentration camps, and he was history teacher. And now our high school is called the Mixed High School Omer Filipovic. So to shorten, at the end of this book, when I pre-ordered, you could write your name, like that you have this book, and they like publish it, and everybody that pre-ordered has its own name, like the list of names who ordered this book, Bosnian Kingdom. And then I told to my nieces from Denmark, and I said, they were like, it was like 4 years ago. And I said, when you get older, you see, your auntie bought you this book, and it's written Leila and Dasya, your name and surname. And then when you get older, when you start to read, you will remember, like, aunt bought us this book. It's very good to know about history. And when I gave them like the total introduction and everything, and they said, Azra, but we don't like history. We are not into it. And I said, okay, waste of money for you, for them, but sometimes they will come. Still,
I think that's really cool, because, like, looking at it from an Austrian perspective, you don't learn anything about Bosnia, about war there, or anything like that, even if you have friends with a family from Bosnia. And if they get to learn about where they are from and the history of the town where they're from, they might tell it to you, and then the history will, like, be spread.
Yeah. They will know the truth at that time. They actually, it has to be told. We Bosnians have sometimes a mentality to accept other cultures and traditions better than our own. Sometimes it's in our mentality. Oh, my child is very good in school, my granddaughter, my grandson, you know. But does he know about history from original, from where their parents are coming from? That's what's important. That's what Bosnian people that are living abroad really should learn their children to know. And I was surprised. I had a visit from one young man from Norway. He came from Oslo. He is Bosnian, also from Cluj here, his parents. And he was studying in Sarajevo private university. But he really was affecting me positively that he wanted to know more. He was this hunger for knowledge is something what I appreciate with these young people.
Yeah, but if a lot of people who left Cluj and Bosnia during the war, they might not have thought about coming back anymore. And it's
I came back.
Yeah, you came back, but lots of people didn't. And people never when they told the story to their children about how they left and what happened there, it was a story about somewhere far away where we don't go.
I don't know. It's everybody, you cannot affect and you cannot ask from people to teach their children what happened here. Mm. It's according to me, it's their obligation to tell children what happened here. They should know. I remember I will also again mention my nieces when I was in Denmark, the last time I was there 2 years ago. And then when they were in kindergarten, I went to pick them up and then I spoke Danish with the people and stuff. And then when we walked, then Leila asked me how come that you speak Danish and, for example, grandmother and grandfather, they don't speak. They speak just a little. And I said, I was more clever than I learned faster than they have. And then I explained, I lived in Denmark when the war was in Bosnia. And she said, war? What kind of war? Then she started to ask questions, but she was 9. And I said, now it's not time for you to know more about this. Now is your time to know Bosnian language. And we will come to that point, hopefully, where I can, even your parents can teach you and where I can teach you more details. That's why I have so many of these books, so that at least pictures that they can see and that we can talk about it.
As I said before, everybody should visit Bosnia as ASAP and as often as you could. But that's my perspective. What's your perspective? Why should people visit Bosnia and what's so special about your country?
Well, Bosnia and Herzegovina, firstly, is heart-shaped land. Our borders are like heart. I like to say like triangle, but it's like heart. We have natural borders, firstly. We have on the north border river Sava, on the west river Una, on the east river Drina. So what could you expect for more? Then what's most important? We have Mostar. I'll start from this. We have this old bridge, which is very famous in the world and very beautiful. We have on the east, we have Visegrad, Andrić city, so-called. We have beautiful Šeher Banja Luka, which is from Cluj 60 kilometers, which is also very beautiful. And a lot of our cities, Cluj, Bihać. Bihać has the most beautiful waterfall in Europe, Štrbački Buk, Una, that is 25 meters high. Of course, the road to reach it, it's a bit, you have to be a professional to come there, but there is a full of tourists visiting these waterfalls. 25 meters, Una, given name by Alberto Fortis, Italian writer, one and only. That's our area. Your listeners should know that our Cluj and Unasana canton is known as green canton because we don't have a lot of industry that pollutes this area. So, and we have clean rivers and clean mountains and woods and hiking paths and bicycles and everything. And for the end, of course, I saved always the capital. It's Sarajevo. Due to, you see, I have this Sarajevo Film Festival shirt. Yeah. That's the whole world is in Sarajevo during the August, during the Sarajevo Film Festival. We have a lot of concerts. Now in March, we have Sting. We had U2 in 1997. So big popular names are coming. And Sarajevo is something, it has a soul, especially during, for example, our Islamic holiday Ramadan. That it's a special thing when you smell the bread, what is prepared for after fasting. Then you have Vatra, the bar, but you have a lot of different bars. You have City Pub, where is always live music, rock music or something. And Sarajevo has soul. Sarajevo is, has suffered a lot, but it is the point where culture meets. In one spot, you have Orthodox Church, you have Cathedral, Catholic Church, and you have mosque. So all in square of 300 meters, and that's the beauty. That's the beauty of Sarajevo. And a lot of different things. So, of course, I always say Cluj is the most beautiful little city in the world. Everybody likes own city, but all of these Bosnia has a heart and has a soul, and really people should really enjoy if they like nature. Of course, we cannot live only from nature, but. Everybody can find here anything for their taste, including now in Cluj, we have really improved our tourism offer.
But the most important thing about Bosnia and Cluj and Sarajevo and whatever is the people, and the people with the big hearts and the humor. Because
the most important.
Because Bosnia and especially Sarajevo is known for the humor. I think Christiane has a question.
Yes, because that is a wonderful introduction to a third with milk and sugar, or with milk and sugar question, which is what makes you laugh?
Well, a lot of things. When she mentioned the like humor, it's a lot of different jokes, because out of nothing we create a joke. I really can't think how people can be so fast in creating a joke. And what makes me laugh, I'm always a positive person. I'm always optimistic. Of course, I get angry if I'm upset, if I have a deadline, then I'm under a lot of stress. But most of the time, I'm very positive and optimistic person, and I'm always looking for a better. And everybody noticed when I read, for example, a message or something on my phone, everybody said, "What's so funny?" And I said, "How do you know?" "Well, your lips like are going like this." And if someone writes me like, "Hello, how are you?" Then I smile. Okay, I haven't heard from this person for a long time. But a lot of things make me fun and happy. And I don't know which one to emphasize or something, but it's really just to be healthy and happy. That's what's most important today.
Mm. Can you laugh about yourself as well?
Oh, all the time. All the time. I have a friend, you know, I grew up with a friend of mine. Like, we are like, you know, when you have a friend, that's for life. And she's now working in Bihać, and I'm working here in the municipality. And her husband is actually a mayor. So imagine, mayor is my house friend and stuff. You know how in Bosnia we are very strict with this. We respect politicians, we respect everything, but you know, he's a friend. Of course, at work, we are official. And then I always like, when we write on WhatsApp or something, she asked me something, and then I replied to her, and then I started like 5 or 6 different topics. We start in one conversation. She said, "You are crazy, I'll kill you. Like, you always make me laugh." Yeah, and then, for example, today I'm supposed to pick up for her one paper from the tax office. And she said, "Oh, they call me Zaza or Zaz, you know, like Zaz, not the one, the singer, but it's good to be compared with her." And then she said, "Oh, you are the best." Like, and I just wrote, "I know." And she said, "I'll kill you for that. Like, you know, but you told me I'm the best." So I said, "I know. Okay, I accept it, you know." So different things. Yeah.
I will ask you that our last big with milk and sugar question, which is, let's travel 5 years into the future together. It's now the year 2027.
Yeah.
And what happened in the best way it could go in the last 5 years in your life?
I have several, actually. I thought about it really a lot. Maybe change a job and work for some kind of ministry on the department for the project, for the not writing, but the receiving projects from other associations and evaluate them and compare, is it a good or not, and accept. That's one of my like thoughts. The second one is actually, I have this And everybody knows me about it. This is my, this kind of crazy wish to visit United States of America. And that's my wish, like, since I was 8 years old, maybe, I don't know. Of course, if someone is covering this, I cannot afford to pay by my monthly payment. And everybody, like, in this point laughed at me because in primary school, I learned Russian language before the war in Bosnia, and I was very good at this. And the whole time in my neighborhood here, now, like, older friends said, like, you were always carrying a dictionary of English language, and you always, like, was, do you know what is this name in English and this and this? And I was probably obsessed at that time. And 5 years, I'm not planning to get married. I'm not so that crazy yet, because here is like tradition, if you're not married by 22, then you are an old lady. It was like something, but I don't have this wish to get married or to, I don't know. You never know what will happen. But I see myself either changing working position to a better, of course, or to move somewhere. I always wanted to move somewhere outside of Gyuj, but when the time comes, I'm canceling this. I'm still here because I'm maybe too much in love with my country. What else? Just travel. I hope that my mother will live long enough to show her what I wanted to show her, you know, at least one time to visit sister in Denmark. She is now like 67 years old, and she is really not ill, but is having, you know, she moves and everything, but the health is not very well. So last year I took her for the first time in Turkey, in Istanbul, and I think that was something that I did, like, really giving her a joy, because my father, he was handicapped, and she was taking care of him for 10 years after diabetic disease. And when he died, and she was ill, and she had some surgeries. So after she recovered, so I wanted to give her this opportunity to visit Turkey. And probably in April this year, I will take her to Denmark to visit my sister at least. And if not, then I see myself, like, other changing job, as I said, traveling, and not writing, but implementing a lot of different projects, at least, especially in Cluj. You know, I'm now in this moment of brainstorming what is the next thing that we could change here. This year, for example, also Cosmos implemented it. We had, like, ice place for ice skating, or how it's called, like, flat, this thing, for the first time. So imagine, like, this full bunch of children on the ice flat thing. It was not real ice, it was a plastic, but Cosmos managed to get from funds from the municipality and the government of Unasana canton. And it was something positive that brought joy to children and to adults as well. So maybe one of the next activities, at least in the next 5 years, is to find funds to have this at least every winter. That it costed a lot, but to have our own, so that we install it for the children, so that they enjoy at least this is what we can give them today.
Yeah. Is there one project where you think that's in your mind, like, for years now, and you want to implement it at one point?
Well, I always have sometimes, I'm always thinking about, like, what to do. I would say when I was a teenager, 14, 15 years old, when I lived in Denmark during the war, I really visited Denmark, the whole country of Denmark, especially these thematic parks and fun parks and stuff. And I think what I always, you know, when I write project, I always see in future how it will develop. I know that it's not possible, but a small thematic park with not like playground, but something that children can experience, something that they didn't have opportunity to do here. Mm-hmm. You have children that their parents are taking them to Sarajevo, to Turkey, to Germany, you know, but that's when whose parents are working. But what with those children that are living here in two houses without parents, that are in orphanage? Then we have children that whose parents are not employed or living from social help support. So maybe to make this like open, small place for their like everyday activities. This is something what I might, if I find support, not only financial, but also this creative support that I could implement in the next years to come. We'll see. You just have to dream on the whole time.
Those are like really, really good last words. We just have to dream on. I really like that. But I think for now we're finished. We're not out of questions, but now we're out of questions. Is there anything that you want to tell the listeners that you couldn't until now? And or where to find the projects, for instance?
Where to find the projects? Well, I don't know which age are your listeners. Are they young or they are middle-aged or like me, 44 now or something, but always feel young in heart? They should like, if they want to participate in non-formal education, they should really visit national agency sites of their own country. They should follow European Commission and Council of Europe call for proposals, SALTO research centers, if they want to participate. If they want to write, then they should, if they want to write to learn more and to find more in their own countries, they should become a part of some NGOs there. And first, of course, you have to work on voluntary base and stuff. But if they prove themselves, maybe they will need some people of that type of their education or whatever. You don't have to be well educated to write the project. It's not required to have a university degree or something. It's just required that you have this strong wish and will to finish it. And of course, you never know who will come to visit Bosnia. So they can contact both of you, especially Brenda. She has now my contacts. We are on Facebook like for years.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and if they want to come to Cluj, I can always be a tour guide for Cluj. But if they want to come to Bosnia, then every city has own tour guide. So, if someone wants some kind of support, they can also like ask from you, Facebook, Instagram, phone, whatever. I'm always like available. I'm always almost 24/7, I would say. Available, and I always gladly give answers to all the questions. If I don't answer immediately, then I do it at the evening when I'm like at home by the TV listening and answering. So, but most of the time I answer immediately. So
thank you very much, Asa, for the insight in your work and the stories about Cluj and Bosnia. And it makes you want to go. It makes you want to just like book a flight and just leave to Bosnia and spend. Yeah,
that was the meaning.
It's a tourism podcast for
Cluj. Yes.
But yeah, I would strongly recommend people to visit Bosnia and visit parts of Bosnia outside of, like you said, Mostar and Sarajevo, and go to Jajce, go to Travnik, go to Cluj, go to Bihać. Yeah.
And everything is on one road, you know. Yeah. They just sit in the car.
Not difficult.
Not difficult at all. Yeah.
But thank you very much for your time and for your openness and for all the things you told us and things we could learn from you. All our other episodes from our podcast are on all podcast platforms, including two about Bosnia.